72, and finally, 7. Phone your claim to 910-4833 before 8 tonight, leaving your name, contact number and the name of the shop where you purchased your book, and we'll call you back the next working day. Get all your NCBI bingo information at highlandradio.com. Introducing the new MyCU current account and debit MasterCard, brought to you by Letterkenny Credit Union for credit union members. With simple and transparent fees and no penalty charges, the MyCU current account brings you all the features of a bank account with easy access and the same local trustworthy service from your credit union. The MyCU debit card is brought to you by MasterCard and can be used to pay bills, withdraw cash and pay for services or products online or offline at millions of locations worldwide. Contact us at Letterkenny Credit Union today to find out more. The MyCU debit card is issued by UAB Payernet pursuant to license by MasterCard International Inc. Terms and conditions apply. Letterkenny Credit Union is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Fall into fashion at Foyleside this season. Foyleside Shopping Centre has everything you'll love for your autumn wardrobe. New store openings bring all the new styles, making Foyleside your ultimate destination. Shop the latest trends for you and your family today. Visit foyleside.co.uk for store opening times.
I hope you're sitting down, because tonight's Lotto jackpot is an estimated 17 million euro. Play responsibly in-store, in-app or at lottery.ie. The National Lottery. It could be you.
The Mount Oracle Hotel presents Jack L. Friday 8th of October. Tickets €20. On sale now at hotel reception. The stars are back.
Live, on air, online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, contact tracing is being stopped in primary schools and childcare facilities from Monday. Meanwhile, the number of COVID-19 cases linked to schools more than doubled in the past week. The Dáil has heard that the human toll of the Mica ordeal has been heartbreaking and has driven people to emotional breakdown and financial ruin. We'll hear from Deputy Padraig McLaughlin and Minister Michael McGrath. Meanwhile, the Taoiseach has clarified he is not ruling out a 100% Mica redress scheme. It follows comments made by Leo Varadkar yesterday. And the Minister says money is not an issue in Ireland's response to the cybersecurity issue. And later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with sports news. But we begin with confirmation this evening that contact tracing is being stopped in primary schools and childcare facilities from Monday. It means testing of asymptomatic close contacts of students under the age of 13 will be discontinued. With more, here's Sean Defoe.
From Monday, the testing of asymptomatic close contacts and automatic contact tracing will be stopped in primary schools and childcare settings. The changes won't apply to special education facilities. Children under 13 and deemed close contacts in childcare settings will not have to restrict their movements unless advised to do so by public health. Public health advice does remain that any child aged 13 or under who displays COVID symptoms should quickly self-isolate and not attend school or socialise until 48 hours after they're symptom-free. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly said data suggesting schools are low-risk environments for the spread of COVID-19 fed into today's decision. However, the Irish National Teachers Organisation has called for a deferral of the changes to contact tracing until reliable information is available to them.
Well, the number of COVID-19 cases linked to schools more than doubled in the past week. HPSC data shows 90 outbreaks in the week to last Saturday, resulting in 412 new infections. That's up from 40 outbreaks and 191 linked cases the previous week. There was one new outbreak in a university last week, leading to 7 cases. Higher Education Minister Simon Harris, however, is confident that the safety measures currently in place in colleges are sufficient.
Obviously, in every setting, there can be outbreaks. And of course, there will be outbreaks in the third level sector as well. But I'm very satisfied that the protocols we have in place, the money that we've put behind the safety measures, means that our colleges are well placed to keep people safe, to keep staff safe, to keep students safe as well.
Letterkenny Institute of Technology is one of 11 colleges across the country where walk-in COVID-19 vaccinations are to be provided over the course of the coming weeks. The main Donegal Vaccination Centre is already located in the LYIT grounds. There were 22 COVID-19 cases at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, three up on yesterday's figure. Two of them were being treated in the hospital's intensive care unit. That's one fewer than yesterday. In the 2 weeks to midnight on Monday, there were 1,280 new cases of COVID-19 in the county, an incidence rate of 804 cases per 100,000 people. That compares to a national rate of 390. 1,060 new coronavirus cases have been reported in the north, with an additional four COVID-related deaths. 397 patients are being treated for the disease in hospitals in Northern Ireland, 34 of them in ICU. The Dáil has heard that the human toll of the Mica ordeal has been heartbreaking and has driven people to emotional breakdown and financial ruin. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin rode in behind criticism of the Taoiseach's comments that taxpayers will be the ones effectively paying for a 100% redress scheme. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin pleaded with Public Expenditure Minister Michael McGrath to bring an end to what he described as a scandal that has scarred the community.
The Taoiseach lectured those families who are going through hell about the burden that a fair and just scheme would place on taxpayers. He included a smart aleck quip about it not being the government's money. How dare he? The Taoiseach never gave such lectures to the families in Dublin and North Leinster who rightly and justly received 100% redress. Such glib comments attempting to turn public opinion have a devastating impact on the families. It creates an anxiety and a fear that those leading this government do not hear them and won't do the right thing. Minister, the human toll of this ordeal has been heartbreaking. I know families and people who've been close to emotional breakdown, people who are close to financial ruin. I live in Buncrana, the epicentre of this disaster in North Donegal. This scandal has left deep scars in our community. Minister, I don't actually think I have the words to convey to you the trauma that these families are going through. But I need you to listen to me here and now. As Minister for Public Expenditure, you have the power to bring incredible positive change to the lives of families who have been through this living hell. I'm asking you to do the right thing. Will you today tell them the government will deliver 100% redress?
In response, Minister McGrath said he could make no firm commitments, but said he did expect a significant enhancement of the existing 90-10 scheme.
Everything is on the table. Government has ruled out nothing. The working group that was set up by Minister O'Brien is ongoing. Earlier in the summer, there was a request by the impacted householders that there would be an extension of time to the end of September for the work of the working group, and that was agreed by the Minister. And so that is the timeline that we're working to. So the working group will now consider the submission from the householders who are affected, and the Minister intends to accept the report from the working group by the end of this month. He will then consider that and discuss it across government and come to a view as to what we can do quickly to support those families. And I and my department and the whole of government stand ready to assist in every way we can. I think we are all on the same side here. We want to get an outcome that works for the householders who are impacted. Last night in the House here, Minister Donoghue gave a commitment that he will take up the issue with the banks to see what role they can play in supporting an overall resolution to this problem. So we have a process in place. We're not standing idly by. We are committed to working with the impacted householders to address this. But I do have to say that, of course, you need to have checks and balances. You need to have certain controls in place. But I don't believe that we should be passing judgment in advance as to the nature of those before you hear what the government has to say. We have to come to a considered view once we have all of the information on the table. And I expect that we will have that now very shortly. And we look forward to bringing forward a proposal that I expect will represent a very significant enhancement and improvement in the existing scheme.
That was Minister Michael McGrath there responding to Deputy Padraig McLaughlin. Well, the Taoiseach last night clarified he is not ruling out a 100% Mica redress scheme. A number of deputies in counties affected by the defective block issue requested an urgent meeting with Leo Varadkar to discuss his comments, among them Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh. Well, Deputy McHugh says there is still no indication as to what the Housing Minister's position on the redress scheme will be. And he said Leo Varadkar stressed to him last night that he isn't preempting anything.
It is important to point out when it's coming very, very close to the line. And Leo sent me a message last night at midnight to say he was not referencing anything about what the percentage contribution was or should be. And he was also very, very keen to point out that he has no insight or no information as to what Dara O'Brien will be proposing. So from a campaign point of view, I understand comments by politicians can be upsetting, and certainly for the people who continue to live this. So as far as I'm concerned, we continue to work towards an end date here, which needs to come soon. We can't have procrastination on this issue. I will be continuing to implore my colleagues right round the cabinet table that we need a decision as soon as possible. And as I said to Leo in one of my communications last night, I said the only thing that is of concern and focus to me at this stage and continues to be is that we will wake up some morning to hear in the news that a house has fallen down, and we all know the implications and the repercussions of that. So we have to keep the focus on this issue. Government cannot delay, and whatever needed to be done should be done. Last night I had a meeting with the Fine Gael executive and the Fine Gael councillors. Councillor Jimmy Cavanagh was very, very strong in making a proposal to the executive, which was unanimously accepted and agreed upon, that it has to be 100%.
And that was Deputy Joe McHugh. Two men in their 20s have been arrested in Derry by detectives investigating the murder of journalist Lira McKee. The 29-year-old was shot dead while covering a riot in the city in April of 2019. A total of three people have been charged with murder in connection with the case. Two of them appeared in court for the first time last week. The US president says he doesn't want to see a change to the Northern Ireland Protocol, which would lead to a hard border in Ireland. Joe Biden met with the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson at the White House yesterday, with Brexit and the North among the topics for discussion. The US president said a lot of the country's time and effort has gone into keeping peace in Northern Ireland. Well, Donegal Senator Niall Blaney is a member of the Good Friday Committee and Fianna Fáil Seanad spokesperson on Northern Ireland. He says he wasn't surprised by the US president's comments, and indeed, he was very encouraged.
I think Boris Johnson was somewhat caught off guard and felt the need to make a comment and stumbled to make a comment. But, you know, we're blessed somewhat the fact that we have such strong support in the US. And as Joe Biden said himself, it's not just his party, it's the Republican Party as well. While some of the UK ministers are now trying to backtrack on it, it's not something Boris himself can backtrack on. And it's really important that we do continue to work and get an overall deal in relation to the protocol. And we need to keep reminding people and the unionists in Northern Ireland, the Irish government and the Irish people were not responsible for Brexit. Brexit was responsible for the protocol. And they need to be cognizant of all in this island in relation to resolving the issues.
Well, Washington isn't the decision maker when it comes to the future of the protocol, according to the DUP. Former DUP leader Edwin Poots believes the protocol undermines the Good Friday Agreement and claimed today that its impact on Northern Ireland is not understood.
We import some 66% of our goods from Great Britain, so it is absolutely illogical to make it more difficult to do that. It's going to, and already has, made life difficult, more difficult for consumers and for businesses and everybody else.
A minister says money is not an issue in Ireland's cybersecurity defences. A review of the National Cybersecurity Centre after the HSE cyber attack found the organisation was understaffed. The Minister of State, Ossian Smith, told the Oireachtas Communications Committee today that extra workers are being hired. And he said funding is not a barrier.
I had no sense when I'm speaking to the ministers in government, the Minister of Public Expenditure, or when we presented our memo to Cabinet, there was no sense that the government were not willing to spend whatever it takes to secure the HSE and to secure national cybersecurity assets. So I don't think money is an issue.
Advocates say Ireland needs to massively increase its mental health funding in the coming years. Ireland spends just 5% of its health budget on mental health supports, despite international recommendations that it should be twice that level. Dr. Fiona Keogh from Mental Health Ireland says the aim must be to reach the 10%.
If we commit to incrementally moving forward with this, you know, if we have a 10-year costed implementation plan for sharing the vision, it doesn't mean we have to jump from 5 to 10% by next year. But over a 10-year period, we should be incrementally able to move to that point of at least 10%.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Championships. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 16 minutes past five. We say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with soccer. Derry City have condemned the racist abuse sustained by their striker Junior earlier this week. The 27-year-old scored Derry's second goal in Monday's 3-3 draw with Bohemians at Daly Mount Park in Dublin. However, Derry say that the online abuse did not come from Bo's fans. Finn Harp's sole focus will now be the Premier Division after they lost 3-1 on Tuesday night to Dundalk in the quarter-final of the FAI Cup. Dundalk go to the semi-final draw where they're joined by Bohemians and Patrick's Athletic and Waterford. Harps play Bohemians in Dublin in the league at Daly Mount this coming Friday. And Harps boss Ollie Horgan says the extra time at Dundalk last night doesn't help matters.
The last thing we need is going to Bohemians on Friday, and we're down bodies as it is before the game, though. We're down more bodies afterwards, and with the lads that are available to put their hand up, well, obviously, you know, it's a savage ask on Friday, especially away to Bowes, who are absolutely flying. And even if we 2 weeks prepare, we could take a bit of a run around there. But this is one that'll be very difficult to try and patch things up. But so be it. That's part of it.
Yeah, it'll be the fifth game in 14 days, I think I'm right in saying.
Yeah, I'm sure Bowes have the same problem, but, you know, they just anyone that watched their game against Derry last night, you know, it was certainly a brilliant spectacle for the league with the attack and play from both sides. But what we're worried about is the Bowes one for Friday, and, you know, we need to be somewhere fresh, and it'll be difficult to do it having played 120 minutes there tonight.
As Harps boss Ollie Horgan, more from him available in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Cross channel, Tottenham will look to end a three-game winless run tonight. They visit Wolves in the third round of the Carabao Cup. Spurs boss Nuno Espirito Santo says there are many areas they need to improve on.
Problems is the situation that the momentum that we are. Problems is what we suffer during the international break. Problems is the absence of players. Problems is that we have to improve the levels of performance. Problems is that we concede goals from set pieces.
Kick off to that one tonight, 7:45. At the same time, Manchester United and West Ham meet again after last weekend's dramatic Premier League clash. Arsenal host Wimbledon, Leicester are at Millwall, and Chelsea take on Aston Villa, while Brighton go up against Swansea. In Scotland, Rangers aim to go one better than last season and reach the semi-finals of the Scottish League Cup this evening. The Premiership champions are at home to Livingston. Also playing for a place at Hampden are holders St Johnstone, who are at Dundee. Celtic take on Raith Rovers tomorrow. Back to England, Liverpool have revealed plans to add a further 7,000 seats to the Anfield Road stand. The additional room will bring the overall capacity to 61,000 at Anfield. Work is set to begin next week and will be completed by the start of the 2023-24 season. Shane Lowry is insisting that he'll play a big part in this week's Ryder Cup. The off-field golfer is making his tournament debut in Wisconsin, having been named as one of Padraig Harrington's wildcards. Lowry is determined to make the most of his opportunity.
I do believe I'll have, you know, a big part to play in this team this week, and I do believe that, you know, I can bring a lot when it comes, you know, when it comes to it on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when, you know, when push comes to shove in this tournament.
In Gaelic games, Bundoran's objection to Ardra's Round 1 Donegal Senior Championship 1 will be heard this evening by the Donegal CCC. Ardra won a tight game at Pierce Memorial Park, but Bundoran objected to the outcome because they felt the hosts had used 6 substitutes during the game, one more than they allowed 5. The case of similarities to what took place in the 2020 final just weeks previous at McCool Park, where the CCC found that the Dr Maguire winners Niamh Connell had breached the substitution rules. Stephen Stack heads an all-star management ticket who are vying for the Kerry football job. His potential assistants include Mickey Neto-Sullivan, Seamus Moynihan, Daryl Caneja and Aidan O'Mahony. Outgoing manager Peter Keane remains in the frame, as does former Kerry and Kildare manager Jack O'Connor. Finally, in rugby, Connacht have given up home advantage to allow their United Rugby Championship match with Ulster take place at the Aviva Stadium on October 23rd. It takes place the day after the final easing of COVID restrictions. It means a large crowd could attend with potentially no limit on attendance. That's your sport for today, Donal. Back with more tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Oisin. A Derry City-based councillor has condemned an attack on a wheelchair taxi in the Craigan area of the city last night. The taxi was attacked on the Inish Carn Road. The driver and an elderly passenger were on board. Neither were hurt, but they were left badly shaken by the attack. Local councillor Emma McGinley has asked parents in the area to consider the consequences of actions such as this. She says she'll also be speaking to local youth services in the city in a bid to ensure such attacks do not happen again. The Dáil has been told the government is committed to investment in the West and Northwest and will positively discriminate in favour of the region when making funding decisions. Thánaiste and Enterprise Minister Leo Varadkar gave the commitment in answer to questions from Galway TD Sean Canny. Deputy Canny said recent EU descriptions of the region have given some cause for concern.
Thánaiste, just in relation to the North and Western Regional Assembly area, the European Union has now recognised and has categorised the region as a region in transition, also as a lagging industrial region, and thirdly, as a moderate innovator. And I believe there is a seismic shift in focus needs to be done to ensure that this region develops to its full potential. And in line of the fact that you are now doing the review of the National Development Plan, the review and renew, I'm asking you what way the government will positively discriminate in funding for the area.
I think one of the advantages of the region's designation is that we can positively discriminate in its favour. So when it comes to employment grants from my department for new industry, we can offer grants in the West and Northwest that cannot be offered in Dublin and Cork, and we're absolutely prepared to do that in order to secure jobs and investment for the region. And then there's the broader, more traditional part of the NDP, if you like, and that's investing in roads, investing in railways, investing in broadband.
A cross-border campaign has been launched for the development of lighting and a footpath from Nixon's Corner to Killay Village. The campaign is being led by Derry-based Sinn Féin councillor Patricia Logue and councillor Terry Crossan, her party colleague in Donegal. Councillor Logue says this is one of the busiest cross-border arterial routes between Derry and Donegal, and she says safety works are necessary as a matter of priority, particularly since the recent development of a new children's play park in Killay.
It is a very, very busy road, one of the major entrances to Derry City. There's actually no footpath even from Nixon's Corner out to the local amenities at Killay, and there's no lights on that road. There is a big need for lighting and a footpath for the safety of all the residents on both sides of the border.
You want the Department for Infrastructure, obviously, to look at this very carefully. Given the cross-border nature of this area, you'd want them to work closely with Donegal County Council to make sure that whatever happens up to the border on the Northern Ireland side is continued on the Republic side, and that something is done between the two authorities.
Exactly. I mean, we're living cheek by jowl, as they say, and I know Terry Crossan has been working on his end. We have worked in cross-border initiatives before, and we have the cross-border working group. We feel in the interest of health and safety and for the well-being of all the residents that live on both sides of this border, that there really needs to be lighting and a footpath put in place there.
And that was Councillor Patricia Logue. Weather forecast: and any rain and drizzle will clear southwards early tonight, to be followed by drier, clearer conditions from the north. Some patches of mist developing as skies clear. More light rain and drizzle moving in, though, to northern coastal areas by morning. Lowest overnight temperatures 10 to 12 degrees Celsius with moderate to fresh westerly winds. Tomorrow, patchy light rain or drizzle in the west and north. Largely dry in other areas with some sunny intervals. Highest temperatures 14 to 17. Coolest in the west and north with a moderate to fresh westerly breeze. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Main stories in brief: and contact tracing is being stopped in primary schools and childcare facilities from Monday. It comes on the same day that the number of COVID-19 cases linked to schools were confirmed to have more than doubled over the course of a week. There were 22 COVID-19 cases at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, three up on yesterday, two of them in intensive care. That's one down on yesterday. In the 2 weeks to midnight on Monday, there were 1,280 new cases of COVID in the county. The Dáil has been told that the human toll of the Micah ordeal has been heartbreaking and has driven people to emotional breakdown and financial ruin. Meanwhile, the Thánaiste has said he is not ruling out a 100% Micah redress scheme, and two men in their 20s have been detained in Derry by detectives investigating the murder of Lyra McKee. Back with more at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for Wednesday evening, September the 22nd. The death has occurred of Eddie Carr, Gortnatra North, Cashel, Fannad. Eddie's remains are reposing at his late residence. Removal from there at 3:30 p.m. tomorrow, arriving at St Mary's Church, Fanavalti at 4 p.m. to repose overnight. The Requiem Mass will be held on Friday at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The Mass can be viewed on the St Mary's Fanavalti and St Columba's Mass Mount Facebook page. Family Flowers Only, please, donations if desired to St Mary's Church Fanavalti, care of any family member. And the death has taken place of John Gillen, Upper Corky, Manor Cunningham. His remains are reposing at his sister Nellie Doherty's residence, Glencar Road, Letterkenny. The house is private to family and close friends only, please. Funeral Mass at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning in St Columba's Church, Dromahol, followed by interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family Flowers Only, donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Jim McGlynn, funeral director. The funeral and burial are private to family and friends only, please.